Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Aldman Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Aldman Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, welders, land grabs, and marathons. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at imtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshound Sam Turton.
Hello.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
Got you mid-yawn there.
You did.
Was the intro not uplifting enough for you this week, Katie?
It was weird, because we've just been sat in the cupboard chatting about films for the last...
Studio.
Yeah. For the last 10 minutes. I forgot we're actually here to record a podcast.
We just take some time out of our day to come and discuss Neil Armstrong.
What else are we talking about? Space things at the moment, because obviously Netflix has got away at the moment. And I'm saying it's 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb, which I think is bang on. It's one of those you think...
Not a point more, not a point less.
6.6 is about... Yeah, that's about right, yeah. But yeah, we're not here to discuss this. We haven't diverted into... What's that big film magazine that everyone bangs on?
Empire.
We haven't... We're going to start... But we could do, I mean, doing a film and TV corner.
I like it.
You like it? You like film and TV? Just in general?
I like film, I like TV.
good week, Katie. Now, the big news from our newspapers, Towers, is that we got a new tap in the kitchen today, didn't you?
I've just gone in and you saw them now, and used them very gently, because we don't want to break these ones.
No. Well, we had no cold tap for 2 days, and people were losing their mind, weren't they?
Yes.
Or was that just me? It was I didn't know what to fill my water bottle with. And you know, people say, bring it in from work. And I said, can't it be warm by the time I get in here? You know, it's been first world problems, hasn't it?
Yeah. Red Cross set up a soup kitchen outside.
Is that where you got your soup the other day?
Yeah.
But it's a lovely tap. Have you used it yet, Sam?
I have done, yeah. It caught me off guard. Because the one we had, you had to sort of like hammer it down and turn it to the right to get it to work.
It was quite,
I went into the kitchen and I was like, what? Oh, this is nice. And I was just stood there for a minute going, on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off. Ooh.
Like a light switch.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah.
Is that why one of the lights is broken? Is that because you've been doing that as well?
Admittedly, I did fix the light, which is why it's now broken.
Well, we're not just here to talk about our newspaper's utilities. We are, of course, here to discuss this week's big news, and it has been a big week for news, hasn't it, Sam? This story obviously was broke sort of in the Nationals, but we'd obviously covered it first because we're, you know. But I'm talking about the Nationals, and I'm talking about the UK press, as it were. It was in there last week about the five railway welders from Doncaster that came over to the Alaman, decided to pop in to Tesco for some sausage rolls and, we believe, some tinnies on their way to the hotel. And they ended up being later arrested for breaching COVID rules, which, of course, they did, because they should have just gone straight from the boat to the hotel, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, you basically just summed up the entirety of the case there. So, yeah, the lads had come over. They were going to work on the MER. Of course, they were given key worker exemption status, which there's still a bit of an argument about why they were key workers. Cause,
a couple of them were apprentices, weren't they?
Yeah, it turns out they were here to weld the tracks together, which is apparently done with thermite.
Yeah, I heard. Well, this was discussed on the Chief Minister's press conference yesterday afternoon, and David Ashford got quite excited about it, I'm going to say, because he went
with the technical terms.
He did, but he loves a technical term. Yeah. And I could see, like, when as soon as Howard handed it over to he was right in there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So yeah, as you say, it involves some sort of explosive to weld the rails together, I presume.
Yeah, apparently so. I mean, what I don't get is because we've been watching the Prom Works the past 2 years, and we haven't seen any thermite down there. So I don't know what's going on with this. It seems a bit weird to me. But anyway, so these lads are brought over.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's been criticism from their boss as well. Because it was second court, he told them not to go to Tesco, which is a bit beyond the point. But he said that where they were meant to be staying on the Prom was not very good, because they have these big wagons that they had to park somewhere, which they had nowhere to park. And he said they should have been put up north where the work was going to get done, which gives us a clue like where the work was being done. But we still now don't know whether the work was ever done, why it was deemed necessary, because we seem to get different responses, because originally the government said it was key workers, and they said, oh, it had to be done. But then the Minister for Infrastructure, in an email that was forwarded to us, said that the contract had to be finished so they could get paid.
Right.
So it's a bit sort of... We still haven't got to the bottom of why this work was deemed necessary and vital, which then led to five guys being jailed.
Well, the excellent story you and Adrian did in the Examiner, which was the Examiner front page this week, which caused quite a bit of debate on social media and further afield.
Yeah, I mean, just to point out, right, we got criticised for using pictures of the guys. People said that we sort of, you know, went a bit too far with it. Their families did contact the Sunday Mirror and they were plastered across many of the apps and websites of the UK national papers. And I think, really, it's sort of like, you know, without any sort of letting the cat out of the bag, the Examiner is not well read off the island. You know, we've got a lot of digital subscriptions and we've got
Katie,
a lot of postal subscriptions.
Katie would disagree.
But we're not exactly getting the same levels through as like the Daily Mail or the Mail Online, the world's most popular news website, is getting this and running it. So it's sort of on MI going, the cat's sort of out the bag by the time it got to us. You know, we've in terms of the pictures and all that. So I don't agree with that criticism. I think that at the end of the day, as Chief Minister said, the island's rules are very clear and they broke them and they went to prison.
Well, there's a couple of things that have arisen since that. Now, obviously, Adrian spoke to their boss. It was quoted in court as well. But he said that he didn't think they should have been over here anyway. He didn't think it was a necessary job because they'd been over in July. Is that correct?
Yeah, they'd been over earlier in the year and had to follow the same rules. Mm. And they didn't break them then, which is interesting. But, he said that we shouldn't have been here, I think was his comment.
Yeah.
Or we shouldn't have been there, whatever. But you look at it and you just go, well, so why were they here? Yeah. And we still haven't actually got a clear answer from the government on this. And I know there's questions because sound effect, we haven't had one of them for a while.
No,
sound the keys is back.
It is on Tuesday, yeah. Complete with two brand spanking new members.
Yeah, we've got
Paul
like
Klein.
Months ago since they were elected, though.
Yeah, Paul Klein, Claire Christian, yeah. Douglas South by election. You were there.
I was. Oh, that was a long night. Not as long as Guernsey, though. See, Guernsey had their national election last night.
Oh, we were talking about
the results were declared after 1 a.m.
I thought they didn't declare the results until the Friday, usually. Didn't
no,
you tell me this
no they had the election, which was, I think that was on the Wednesday.
Oh, so it wasn't
and
Thursday.
And then they sort of like locked the sports halls up, and some guy has to sit there like a creepy janitor in Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything about the janitors in Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
But they ended up there all night with the results, and then they counted them the next day, and that took till 1 a.m. because it was an island-wide poll.
Yeah, because you vote, you get 8 votes, don't you?
So yeah, so there was 38 votes.
You get 38 votes per person.
Yeah, 38 seats. So you had 38 votes. And there was an electorate, what have they got, about 60-odd thousand? And they had 80% turnout.
Wow.
So, I mean, in one sense, I mean, what, the last Manx average turnout was just above 50?
Yeah.
So they're doing something right, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was, like, well late into the night. I mean, compared to Douglas South, which was half 11 at night, I think. Mm. So that's sort of, you know, a bit of interesting Channel Island reach that we're getting here.
But going back to the welders.
Yes.
The other point that I don't think we've mentioned yet was later confirmed that one of them did actually have COVID.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing, and we got criticised for this as well, because the prison went into a stage of lockdown because they were there and because one of them had COVID, which
he was asymptomatic, we believe, isn't it?
Yeah, they test prisoners on the way into the prison, the standard, and then what's mad is that of course they could have left the island after that because they've been in police custody for 2 days, which due to the way the remand system works means they're in there for 4 days. So they would have had to do like about a day and a half, 2 days in prison, and then they'd be eligible for release after having served half their sentence. And then they would have been able to leave the island, but they couldn't because they're now isolating somewhere in the island.
Right.
So we don't know where, we don't know how.
Again, because of the furore this week, I refer back to Thursday's press conference. Howard Quayle was saying that they've actually ramped up measures at ports and the airport and at the sea terminal. There's now specific lanes for key workers.
Apparently so, yeah. I did like this bit because the Chief Minister said that he went down unannounced.
On Tuesday.
Which sort of brings two things forward. Either that, first of all, every time he arrives in a building, someone goes...
Sam Turton found a bit.
Exactly. Yeah. Or he just sort of went in and, like, in my head he's got...
Gone for a Costa. And then he's like, oh, I'll just hang around.
You know,
for a bit.
He's got, like... Maybe he's taken the tie off. Or put like a wig on so people don't recognise him.
Flat cap, I reckon.
So I was thinking flat cap. And then do you know like them ones that you always get like a spy in like a bad cartoon? Had they've always got like a long brown sort of coat on and then a hat that they pull down.
Right.
And they sort of lift their collars up.
Trench
like,
coat.
Yeah. And they sort of lift their coat, the collar up. And I think that's what Howard did.
Spy versus spy.
Yeah.
But they've also now, apparently, there's going to be further announcements on the boat and plane as you arrive in the island saying... Don't go and get sausage rolls on your way to your
I think that's the exact wording, yeah. I'm going to get John Rhys-Davies to record a special. I think it's going to be like another... You know, like I was,
as a hyperactive pirate.
Yeah, you know, the advert, which is awful, the safety announcement. I'm just there going, I'd rather drown than listen to this again. And I think maybe that's what they should do. They should just go, Army Hardies, don't go and get a sausage roll or you'll go to prison.
I think you've just hit the nail on the head there, Sam.
Of the most infuriating things about all of this was the comments under the story that the Mirror ran on Facebook. People going, Well, they were wearing their masks. That's what the Prime Minister's asked for. Mm. He's not our Prime Minister. No. It was infuriating.
That's the title of this podcast. Yeah. He's not our Prime Minister.
So we had a letter in this week. Did you see this, Sam? Someone referred to Howard Coyle as the First Minister. So obviously someone from Scotland, obviously.
There's a lot that matches him and Nicola Sturgeon, I'm sure. But I won't say that. I did think, actually, you know, Kate, the thing that I suggested was that, you know, you look at it and people in the adjacent aisle really have no idea about the Isle of Man at all.
No.
We are literally like, they say hello to the fairies, they've got motorbikes and they've got cats with no tails. Mm. And then they've sort of gone, they have a legal system. Mm. They have their own parliament.
And
what?
Someone was saying about, like, just referring to them as MPs over here, and it was quite late in the night. It's like, just don't start commenting.
Quite frankly, I think the Mirror used us as a very cheap pawn and a very cheap trick to make a point about Boris Johnson's dad.
Yes, that's very true.
And I think they use this as a way of having a go at him, which, to be honest, I don't appreciate. And I think that, you know, our editor, of course, Richard, went on to Manx Radio this week, name-dropping the rivals. There we go. He went on to Manx Radio this week and actually argued the point, you know, because originally they were quite sort of hostile to it as well, and they said, a lot of our listeners are saying this. And yet, within Richard going on that, within a day or so, their sort of narrative had changed a lot. So I think this is a rare example where not only have we told the public what has happened with this, we've raised the issue with the government, we've made it a central issue in terms of key workers and why they were brought here. We've also sort of driven the narrative quite a bit and quite well. I think it's one. It's one of these stories where occasionally you get ones we should be very proud of, and this is definitely one of them.
Here. Well, yeah, you can read more about this story in the Examiner this week, can't you? And there's a follow-up in the Indy about key worker status, which we tried our best to get a definitive answer at the Cabinet Office and those people that make the decisions whether you can enter the island. I think there's over 1,000 entered the island.
I think there's 1,148 or something.
Most of them, I think, have been in the health service, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the vast majority haven't been caught going to Tesco.
Yeah.
And, you know, in fact, a lot more people who have breached rules have been residents here and they've gone to prison for it. So that was another thing that... Because last week, of course, we had the three from Swansea who didn't go to prison. Mm. Now the Doncaster Five did. And you sort of look and you go, well, what's the difference between the two of them? But I think that the core thing here is that if there's going to be consistency, if they're going to jail residents for doing stuff like this, they have to jail key workers for doing it as well.
Yeah.
And we have to necessarily make an example of saying, look, this is Manx law and this is the law here. If you don't, the law of the land, if you don't like it, don't come here.
Said by a true Manxman. Okay, yeah, if people want to read more about this story online, they can do so with one of our digital editions, can't they?
Yep, iomtoday.co.im and click on digital editions, and it's just £1 to buy a copy of the newspaper.
Exactly. A pound well spent.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, this week's next news story is a belter. This has sort of been bubbling on in the background for maybe the last couple of weeks. Sam, was that about fair? So
yeah.
I think sort of broke maybe this time last week, this time start last week, and it's about Ramsey commissioners have said they want to almost annex a bit of Lazare, don't they?
Yeah, Imperial Ramseys, they're now known, led by Emperor Andy Cowie, have said that they want to take over part of Lazare and Garth. In order to create Super Ramsey, or Greater Ramsey, as they're going to call it. And it all sort of comes down to, it's very well timed, because it just happened to come out on the same day that a planning application became public of 181 homes in Lazare.
Mm-hmm. Near Milne Town, isn't it?
So yeah, land south of sort of Milne Town.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that the new Ramsey would exactly just bend round this estate,
yeah,
and all the 181 rates that they could be collected from there, which are a lot higher than they are in Lazare. Mm. Ramsey's argument is that they've run out of space. Ramsey's too popular. There's too many people living there.
They need to expand.
However, the release that come from Ramsey was, it's all fine. We've spoken to them. They're fine.
We're just going
to
take a slither here, a slither there. Everyone's cool. It's going to happen.
It's going to be a great war. They went for the whole Trumpian. It's going to be great. And then Lazare got onto us, or we got onto Lazare commissioners, and they went, what?
They're going to do what?
No, we're not. And then Lazare went, no, tell you what, we'll take over Ramsey. See how they like it.
And then Garth have said, well, if you're taking over that, we're going to try and take them over as well.
Well, Garth...
It's like a game of risk.
Garth in typical Garth fashion went, we'll take over you, actually, but we just need to discuss it as a board first. So Garth are going to get back to us on what they're thinking. But
it's like risk.
Yeah.
A very own game of Risk.
Brilliant, wouldn't it, if all the local authorities just sat around playing Risk.
Well, yeah, so this story, again, this was an Examiner, but it's rumbled on, hasn't it? It's rumbling. I can hear it rumbling in the background. People may think that's just someone walking around in the background, but it's the rumbling story of the land grabs in the north.
It's deafening in the north at the moment.
It's deafening.
Well, of course, we never really got to the end of what happened in the south, where similar. We had Rushton and Port Erin in the Ballachilly estate, which is a very personal issue for Chief of Port Adrian, yeah, who happens to live in the Ballachilly estate and enjoys Rushton's leadership under Phil Gawn, of course, yeah, former Department of Infrastructure Minister. Who he doesn't want to pay Port Erin rates, Katie. Do you know why? Because they're higher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about rates. And maybe this will lead to a further conversation about an all-island rate.
I don't support that, quite frankly. I think we should be making Onken great again. And all
we are. What has happened this week, though?
Have you seen this?
I don't know, maybe.
Little Isabella's back.
Yes, like I have seen it. Yeah.
Although what I thought was brilliant.
Can you just tell people what Little Isabella is? Who aren't
Little Isabella, do you know
fanatic
what?
Like you.
Yeah, Little Isabella is a water wheel in Groudon. And she was built to coincide with the mass tourism boom in the area. And also pumped water to the Groudon Hotel and provided lighting and electricity for the Glen. It's marvellous, it's fantastic. However, some evil commissioners refused to pay for their restoration. It's alright, my dad doesn't listen to this, but he's a commissioner. So they refused to pay for the restoration of it after she was fallen into quite a disrepair. She wasn't in the best state.
She wasn't looking her best, you're
no,
right.
No, she wasn't. So anyway,
green round the gills.
Yeah, so Laxey-based mining company, MMD, mm-hmm, they stepped forward after a bit of negotiations here and there with people, and they said, we'll replace it, we'll do it. Okay. So they sent the wheel off island last June, I think it was, and the wheel's now back. It's a new wheelhouse, that's an entirely new wheelhouse, but it's going to be a longer lasting one because the last one was wood and has rotted away. But Little Lizzie is back in place and she'll be running. What is brilliant, of course, is that we are now the only village on the island with an Isabella that works.
Oh!
Because the Great Laxey Wheel...
You take it down, Laxey!
The Great Laxey Wheel is not turning. However, the highlight of this, and why I'm glad you brought it up, is a certain local scaffolding firm, who I'm not going to mention for various advertising reasons, they were the ones who, like, you know, their scaffolding was around it while the work was being done. And they put a brilliant picture on Facebook with the caption of Lady in Red. That should give the scaffolding company one.
That's
I was like, very so, well yeah, done. We are making Onken great again, folks.
And we do enjoy a Christopher pun. But yeah, there seems to be a lot of, mostly stirred up by you, it has to be said, rivalry between local authorities at the moment.
Yeah, I just think...
You're like the puppet master, aren't you? Have you heard what Garth has said? Ooh, they've been talking smack about you, Ramsey.
Yeah, basically. I think it's an interesting one because you're at the stage where, obviously, with the area plans happening and with various other things, I mean, you got the traditional sort of parish areas, so you've got parish commissioners over here. I think that you've got this breakdown in the sense of what a local authority should be providing, what it shouldn't be providing. And the problem is that Douglas... And by its own right, is not a local authority. It's very different to all the other local authorities. It provides housing, of course, but it also has a lot more responsibilities for various other things. And the same way that then Onken is like the second biggest housing and has that. But then like Ramsey have comparatively fewer sort of council housing, as it were, but they still provide a lot of the services, and also they run the local amenities around the north of the island. And you see developments now like, I can't think of the name of it, but it's a new residential complex which has been built in Ramsey, which is a combination of the Northern authorities, and they also run, like, you know, one. You've got around the island, you've got the bringing, what are they called? The amenity sites, yeah, which are run north, south, east, and west. So there's a lot more local authorities working together, but yet they don't want to merge. You know, so you get this thing where Garth was created out of like Laxey, London, and that still becomes an issue at some of their meetings. We didn't do this when we were Laxey, sort of thing. So I kind of see where it's going, why people think that. A 4+1 was suggested at one point, so Douglas and then four areas. But it doesn't necessarily work because what works in Garth is different to what Onken needs. You know, Garth and Onken have two different heritages, they've got two different setups. Onken's got an armada with little fleet of ships in the park. Yeah. Laxey doesn't.
But it's interesting you talked about Guernsey before, because of the 38, well, how many members there are.
Yeah.
They're all island, aren't they? They haven't got constituencies as such.
No, they decided to try this. This is the first time they've done it down there, so we'll have to see how successful it actually has been. Because
yeah,
they've done away with constituencies. They've replaced it with one island constituency of 38.
I think the only Alderney has a member, doesn't he, or two? Which, yeah. Effectively, one of them is then the Chief Minister of Alderney or the First Minister of Alderney.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, that sense, because effectively, it's... I can't think of what would be the same thing here. It's like giving the calf of man, but I don't mean disrespect to that. Yeah. It's just sort of that's the only Manx example I can think of.
Yeah, Tower Refuge.
Craignish. It's like giving Craignish its own constituency.
Mm.
But saying that whoever's in charge, whoever's like the most elected in Craignish is in charge of Craignish.
Mm.
It's a bit sort of weird how that works, because Alderney also has its own internal government.
Right.
And it has like its own little, what would be a council. Exactly. I tried looking into Guernsey politics before this election, and it's mental. Compared to the Manx system, which is a bit confusing, that's very confusing.
You heard it here first. If Sam's been stumped by a local government thing, it must be pretty hard to understand. Right, well, we've covered a lot there, actually, more than we had on the script, so, yeah, welcome to Politics Hour with Samton.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
We're going to move on to our sports story of the week. It involves Ollie Lockley. Did you see the rearranged London Marathon took place last Sunday? You're both looking blankly at me, but
I did see it in the Examiner.
Yes, so it was...
It changed the name back. I thought it was still the London Snickers.
That's it.
Oh God!
What you call a dad joke from Sam there? But yeah, the London Marathon took place on Sunday in London, of course, but over a slightly different route. They had to do 20 laps of a set route, but it still finished on the mall, isn't it? The traditional finishing route.
Yeah.
Ollie was one of the 40 that took part, so it was essentially just the elite field. You know, there was no people doing it in what do you call it?
Dressed as the Honey Monster. Is that what it's called? Honey Monster. Sugar Monster.
Well, anyone. Yeah. The monsters. Any various.
Yes, no costumes.
I thought it was the Sugar Puff Monster. Or was that the American word?
Honey Monster.
There was the Honey Monster, wasn't there?
Anyway, we digress.
He wasn't there. Ollie was there.
Ollie was there from Ballyfogill Ferry. He ran 2:19:40, which was a beatingly former Ireland record, which was 2:23. It's only his second ever marathon. He's his first,
ever?
Yeah, he'd done one in Frankfurt before this a few couple of years ago, but this is the second time. He said he actually was quite disappointed with the time. He said he felt a bit unfit on the day, got a bit of cramp in his hamstring.
How is that compared to the world record? How far off are
we? About 20 minutes, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they're just under 2 hours recently,
wasn't it? But there's all sorts of... That was the guy that had 6 pacemakers, a truck, all of the night gear. It's all a bit, you know what I mean? You know, fair play. He probably did run.
Okay, so we need to give Ollie a shove.
Sure, but yeah, in the politest possible terms. But yes, it was fantastic coverage of that in the Examiner and in the Independent this week. So well done, Ollie, if you're listening. A fantastic effort. He obviously had to go over. He's back now, but he's had to self-isolate. I think he came back and he was in a bio bubble while he was there so he could run with his fellow.
Like Bake Off.
Yeah. Exactly like Bake Off. And I suppose the Noel Fielding type character of the marathon was Sumo. He was running, but as a pacemaker, so he dropped out after a certain time.
Yeah.
So imagine Samo on Bake Off. I bet he'd be quite good, wouldn't he?
Well, wasn't he the one who beat the cube?
Hang on, where are we going now?
Mo Farah, I'm sure he was the one who beat the cube. Sir Mo.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's the one who beat the cube.
Did he?
I'm sure he did for like a charity version just after the 2012 Olympics.
Well, what is it? There's nothing that man can't do.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Time for This Week in History, Sam, and a publication we don't really use that much, which is the Manx Star, and we've gone back to Wednesday, October 15th, 1930.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever used the Manx Star, have we?
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm.
But I was sort of... So, our friends at the Eye Museum made their whole library of archives free.
Yep.
So, I decided to put in some words and see what would come up.
Okay.
Because you can search words for front pages. So, like, towards Christmas, don't be surprised if there's some snow-themed front pages. Or Santa.
Okay.
But I put in murder. So, up pops the Sulby murder of Percy William Brooke.
Yeah.
Who's a retired farmer who... Right, I'm never going to be able to pronounce this name, right?
Lady Lenny.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was up there between... The cottage was between Snaefell and Thought He Will.
Pretty remote then.
Yeah.
Even in Manx terms, that's pretty remote.
Yeah. So he had... there's a whole coverage of the front page I'm going to hear, right?
Let's point out, he was murdered. He was the murderee.
The victim.
The victim, as otherwise known.
Yeah, I believe so. To be honest, right, this is what you don't get from reading like our pages now. They're very easy to lay out. Mm. This sort of jumps from column 1 and 2 to 3, and then you sort of get lost down here somewhere as it sort of jumps over again.
So who was the murderer?
The murderer was a guy called Kizik.
Right.
I'm just trying to find his name in here.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yep. It was Kizik, right. The cool thing about this is, not a cool thing, but the way that is how he was arrested.
Right.
Because there was a manhunt for Kizik.
Right.
And Sergeant Watson, who may or may not be John from Sports Desk, he told the story to a Manx Star representative, I like how they say that, of how he arrested him, which is quite... I just thought I'd read this as a thing. So I found him in an old ruined farmhouse near Druiddale, he said. We had come down over the mountain towards a cluster of old ruined homes, and Constables F.W. Cowan and Alf Kelly, who were with me, had gone to look in the other houses. There was no roof and no door on the place, and when I entered, Kizik was standing by the old fireplace with a gun in his hands and a dead rabbit lying at his feet. He was taken unawares, and as I rushed in, I covered him with my revolver and shouted, "Hands up, Kizik!"
Covered him with my revolver? What does that even mean?
Like aimed
at him. Right, okay. Hands up, Kizik. That should have been the headline.
Do you know what? I'm a bit surprised it wasn't.
I like the bit where it just said, it was evident that the murderer had partaken of a meal in the house as they found a tin of pineapple chunks and a tin of condensed milk nearly empty.
Ooh. That's not bad.
That's not a meal. That's pineapple chunks and condensed milk.
I mean, it's not great, but it's not it's not bad for the time, is it? 1930, you're getting your pineapple chunks.
He left the remains of a loaf of bread behind him as well. So he was eating well.
I tell you what this is, though. You know when you come down through Druiddale and you sort of... It's the rally stage and it dips and turns. And there's that house just by the cattle grid.
Yeah.
It's that's the house.
Wow.
Which I only learned because I think it was Watty that told me that, actually.
He did.
Because he was there, the arresting officer.
He was the arresting officer. Yeah.
Well, have you got to this in the book yet? There's a book.
I've started the book at the back.
Ah. Can I ask why?
No.
There's a book that I was reading, which I lent Katie, about homicide in the Isle of Man, it's called. It's a really good read, and it's all about, it's not all just murders, it's all sort of,
is it,
you know.
New book or?
No, it's got some age on it. I picked it up in one of the local bookshops in town. It was Lexicon I got it in.
Lexicon.
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 Yeah.
It's like the Lexicon wave.
Is that the wave you have to go in when you go into the shop?
Aye. Yeah. So yeah, I thought that I'd just highlight that as a nice...
Yeah, so it's a lovely story.
I just thought it was interesting in terms of how it was covered at the time, and... yeah, just I like the thing of hands up, Kizik.
So obviously that dominated the front page to a certain extent, Sam, sorry. What else was on making the news that week?
There was a bit about the House of Keys, actually. There was a whole thing about the All-Ireland Electric System, which is interesting. It was the All-Ireland Electric Light and Power Act, which was going to extend electricity across the whole island. The first electricity generated on the Isle of Man was the property of the Manx Electric Railway Company.
Oh, really?
They were the ones who installed it at what was then Derby Castle. That was the first one. And then I believe the second one is still a building. It's on North Quay. It's sort of very inconspicuous from the front, but from the back, I think it used to be an MER place as well.
Oh.
You know, as you go along opposite the old Citadel for the Salvation Army, it's like the yard that's got like the lifted barrier. It's down the back end of that. It's a good building. I think it's next to the British or just up from it. And so that's where it was. That was the second one. But anyway, this was going to send all across the island, and it was going to be the first time that a lot of the island had actually been...
Had electricity.
Yeah, which is not bad. In 1930, they had this ambition to get all around the island.
It's a bit like now we're trying to get fibre broadband everywhere, isn't it?
Well, it just shows, doesn't it? Nothing's new under the sun.
Exactly. The other story is about Ramsay Lifeboat's new coxswain. The crew of the Ramsay Lifeboat met on Friday for the purpose of selecting a new coxswain in the place of John Garrett, who has resigned on account of broken health. That's not really a term you hear anymore. Oh, I've had some broken health. He joined the crew with 20 years of age, and during his 37 years as a member, has seen 65 services. His father, a former coxswain, met his death through injuries received when he rescued work with the lifeboat. There you go. On a ballot, TJ Lord was elected his successor, and W. Christian was appointed bowman. There you go. So that was the new coxswain for the Ramsay Lifeboat in 1930. Katie, the adverts now.
Do you know Mrs. Kitchener made fun of us the other day for not knowing some of the terminology of these clothes adverts?
Which one was it?
I can't remember what word it was, but she was like, I can't believe you didn't know what that was.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
All right, well. We'll consider our wrists slapped there, Mrs. Kitchener.
No, we need to.
We will do more.
Brush up on our millinery.
But there is a millinery advert, isn't there?
There is.
Go on.
So we've got, it's time to consider your winter coat. You will find your requirements amongst the fascinating selection of tweeds, velours, face cloths.
Right. Okay, Mrs. Kitchener is probably going to correct us here. But I know as a face cloth, there's something you wash your face with.
Yes, not something you wear in the winter.
No.
But it is now.
The snood.
No, I mean, face cloth, they're all wearing them in the UK because there's COVID things.
Dave wears one in the office.
Yeah, but that's a different matter entirely. He feels the cold when a cat farts.
So that was Philip Kelly's of 85 Strand Street, Douglas. Now, this is quite unusual, isn't it? The two, what they're called, the earpiece adverts, which are either set at the side of the masthead, offer the same thing.
They're both for boots and shoes. Boots and shoes for the same place.
Quine and Shimmons. Yeah. Strand Street.
What I like about this is you got to get your boots and shoes at Quine and Shimmons. And they went, oh, can we have the other one as well? Yeah, but we can't have the same advert on the... There's definitely been a thing where they got, we can't have the same advert on the front page twice. All right, what's the first one say? Get your boots and shoes. Okay, what if we say best in Douglas?
Best value in Douglas. Yeah,
go on, we'll have that.
Yeah, pretty much the same advert. And then there was the final thing was what you call a house ad, really. It was for the Star's continuing publication, really, wasn't it, Sam?
Yeah.
I like their motto.
Yeah,
hitch your wagon to the Star.
So basically, I don't know what that the picture is of, though. So, you know the thing on the right?
It's, both of these pictures. Oh. One is like dying flowers, maybe.
I'm not sure. It's very odd.
It looks like eyeballs.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. We'll express your opinions to us at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, because we'll get Grace to put this up on our socials later. Because it is a very... It's almost like something else had been booked in and they've not paid their bill. And they were like, right, let's fill a space. It's almost a bit like that, I feel.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Now, we are knee-deep in the Hop Tune month, aren't we? Katie?
Yes, we are.
With a Sam Turton sound effect in the background. He is available for bar mitzvahs, weddings and birthdays.
Go to Mark's.
I'm not allowed to go to the birthdays anymore.
Oh, God.
I hate calling the caterpillar's face at the last one.
No, that's for the birthday boy or girl.
That's
not
what
for
I was
Sam.
Told. I ruined that 4-year-old's birthday party.
But yes, we are in Hop Tune month after that stark revelation.
Face.
He ate the face! So we were going to go with sort of Hop Tune themes for Yesterday Training this month.
Yeah, we're going for some spooky Manx stories. So beginning this build-up, I've started with one of the most well-known spooky stories, The Mordy Doo.
The Mordy Doo. The Mordy Doo. Why have you said that in a Scottish accent?
I don't know.
Let's just sound like Mrs. Doubtfire.
I kind of want you to read this now in a Scottish accent. No?
Why?
It'll set the scene.
I feel, Katie, you just press on. We've lost Sam to the...
Would you like if we put some sound effects in? So like it's a castle gate swinging open and closed.
And the sea lapping against the rocks. That's what I want in the background. So this is set...
chickens.
That's a seagull.
Oh.
Let's not go down the treble.
Anyway, this is set in Peel Castle. It's one of my favourite two Manx castles.
Oh.
Tower Refuge not good enough for you?
A tower, not a castle, is it?
Yeah, it's not... See, key is in the name there.
Touché.
And in one of the first written versions of this tale, that comes from George Waldron in 1713, he states that a large black spaniel with curly shaggy hair used to haunt the castle. It had been seen in every room, and it was known to have gone into the guard chamber whenever the candles were lit and lay down in front of the fire. Apparently, the soldiers were so accustomed to seeing the dog that they lost all terror and fright that they'd originally had. Now, if you just read that, it does just sound like a little friendly doggo wanting to come and sleep and warm himself up by the fire. So other tales exist that say he didn't always stay in Peel Castle, that there are sightings of him at Ballymoda and Hango Hill, and then in the 1920s near Milltown.
Wow.
So new residents from expanding Ramsey can look out for him. But and they also said that seeing him could foretell a storm or shipwreck.
Wow. It's like a premonition.
Yes. But there is another story that does paint him as being an absolute demon from hell.
Oh.
And that is, although the soldiers in Peel Castle learned to live with him coming in and out, they would always go in twos to do their night task.
I've heard that before.
You take your buddy with you, just in case you were to cross paths with him in the dark passageways. One night, he started bragging. He's not scared. He'd go on his own.
I'll take that spaniel.
Exactly. So he's giving it all the talk, saying, I'll go on my own. I'm not scared of anything. I'll take the key to the captain at the end of the dark, scary passageway. Then, in front of everyone, he dared the dog to follow him. So he said, we'll see if he's dog or devil. So the black dog, listening to this man boast about how unafraid he was, got up from his spot in front of the fireplace. He followed him down into the darkness. And a few minutes passed. The only sound to be heard was the waves outside. Then, screaming and howling, coming from the darkness. No one helped. Everyone stayed where they were, waiting. The man came back into the room, deathly pale, sat down in front of the fire, sat in silence for 3 days, and then died.
Oh.
And that's the last time he was reportedly sighted at Peel Castle.
The more you do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What year was that?
I don't know.
So the Morty Doo...
Legend.
The legend of the Morty Doo will be celebrated later this month by Manx National Heritage.
Yes, it will.
So
what are they doing?
Well, I think you can go and see if you can find him.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You look very scared then, though, Sam, so I don't know if you should go on your own.
I was playing up for the audience.
There's only me and Katie here.
That's the audience.
But that's very interesting. So have either of you seen the Morty Doo or encountered him on a trip to Peel?
No,
not that I remember.
Not
I think you would remember if you saw a
demonic
a hell dog, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I like big dogs, though. Like little dogs, I'm not too keen on.
You like big dogs and you cannot lie?
Yeah. That sounds can't deny.
Well, that was interesting as always. I'm looking forward to where we go next in our Hop Tune A month. Are you going to have to... we've already done the vampire.
We've done the vampire already, yeah.
So we're going to have to... You're going to have to delve deep into the culture of Bannon's Arcos.
I mean, we've got, 2 or 3 weeks till Hop Tune A?
Yeah.
Why is it called Hop Tune A?
Well, there you go. That can be the final one.
We've also got...
We could bring back the ballad bands. The Ballog bands? Ballog bands?
Mollog.
Mollog bands.
That's Christmas. That's in the lead up to Christmas.
Ginny the Witch.
We've done about witches, remember? Because it was the only witch to be burnt alive on the island was in Castletown.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the Manx Museum, though, they've got a fantastic section on cults and myths about the island. There must be something in there we haven't used.
I'm sure we'll... Culture Bannon's website's very good as well.
I'd love to know if there's any Manx cults that existed. Like, in the kind of same way as, you know, the culty cults.
The culty
cults. You know what I mean.
Yes. Right, that's about it for this week. Sam, what's coming up? There's loads in the Examiner, isn't there?
There's tons.
There's
absolutely great.
Tons. So please do get to your news agents on Tuesday if you can. Or if you're failing that, please go online to imtoday.co.im and look at the digital editions tab. But there is tons. So do you want to give people a taster?
Oh, well, we've got the Chief Constable's report.
We have.
We've got a suggestion that anyone who stands for anyone who wants to be the Chief Minister should inform Timble before a general election.
Oh.
So not only could we, the members, and
also... I was
about
to say, are you not interested in the role?
No, probably not. No. Not at the minute. I just feel like it's a lot of effort, isn't it? Like, you know.
You like Howard's gear, though, don't you? You like his tweed.
I do like his tweed.
Yeah.
But
I don't know if that comes with the job, though.
I was going to say, I don't remember Alan Bell wearing much tweed.
Yeah, fair point.
I could just imagine Sam stood up at a briefing, dressed head to toe in Liverpool kit.
All right, lads, look, I've got 5 minutes. I'm due down Colby for training.
Or,
stay indoors, protect the NHS, see you later.
Or like, as dressed as he is today, so if you look, he's got some lovely trousers on, a nice shirt,
yeah,
and then his trainers.
Trainers, and he puts on his what do you call it?
The gilet.
His gilet.
His active gilet, no less. So, yeah. That would come in with a little bag with his soup in.
Yeah.
That would be tremendous. I'd love to see that at a press conference, actually. But yes, so there is lots. There's also there's prize days, there's Battle of Comines, there's St. Ninians, there's tons of stuff in the exam.
And there's tons of sport.
There's always tons of sport. There's football, there's rugby, there's hockey, there's horse riding, there's tons of stuff. Katie, anything exciting happening in the world of distribution you should be made aware of?
They're not next week, but the following week.
Oh, it's a big week.
Yeah, it's going to be big behind week. The business.
And
Little Starters.
Yes, which everyone has already been messaging on Facebook.
People have
on.
Already been phoning up asking when is Little Starters going in the paper, and it's coming the 22nd of October.
Yeah, I can confirm that the 24th, isn't it? Behind the business is 22nd.
Oh, yeah, sorry, it's a Thursday, not Tuesday.
Behind, I can confirm the last Little Starters pictures were taken today, I think, so that's very exciting.
It is an exciting time.
Right, that's it for this week. Until next week.
Bye for now.